you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil.
Welcome to Rock Power. Rock Power is the radio ministry of Rock Power Church. We are located just west of Fluor Drive on the corner of Southwest 30th and Park Avenue. This ministry is dedicated to the proposition that the Bible is God speaking to you, that God never changes, that the Holy Spirit never changes, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that there is only one church and one church age, and that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And as He, Jesus, is, so are we in the world. Since God never changes, and Jesus never changes, the Holy Spirit never changes, the Word of God never changes, His plans and purposes never change, and since we are still the church, then we, the people who make up the church, are in need of revival, because the world is in desperate need to see the manifestation of the sons of God. The purpose of the Rock Power program is to stir up the church towards repentance and revival. Today we're going to be talking about John 3:16. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The title of our study is God Still Loves the World. John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world," but I'm concerned that Christians think of that in the past tense. We've got to come to the realization that God didn't just love the world. God loves the world. God loves people. God doesn't just love you. God just doesn't love us. God loves people. So in this series of lessons, we're looking at 8 reasons why the church is not winning souls, not loving the world and winning souls as we ought to.
I want to read this scripture out of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. It says, "Now thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us, diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." Through you, through me. Through us, He diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. And His knowledge is that no man cometh to the Father but through the Son. That's the only knowledge that counts. "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we're an aroma of death to death, and the other the aroma of life to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ." You know, it's easy to be negative, but you got to also have the positive. "We are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved." Think about that. We are the fragrance. We are the representation. We're the aroma. We're the presence of Christ. But if we
allow ourselves to be conformed to religion, then we're no longer the fragrance of Christ. You know, when He said, "Be not conformed to this world," the major thing in the world, other than the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, those things, is religion. Religion is one of the devil's chief weapons against God in the world. In fact, if you study and read John chapter 10, where Jesus said, "The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy." Yes, the thief is the devil, but if you read that, he's talking about the devil uses religion. Religion is the chief enemy of God. Islam and every other ism is an enemy of God and a thief. And I'm just going to be bold and say Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnessism, Catholicism, and every other ism, because God is not an ism. We're in the family of God. We're supposed to be in the family of God, not in an ism.
Be conformed to religion instead of to love, because being conformed to Christ is being conformed to love. Then we are the wrong. We're not the fragrance of Christ. We're the fragrance of some man-made religion, some man-made formula, some man-made whatever. We are to be a fragrance of Christ. What's the church look like? It looks like the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved. Uncork yourself, you know? Let your aroma, let Christ out. Amen? Let Christ out. Now, right here, I want to start here. In Philippians, it said, holding fast the word of life. You know, Jesus said we're to be fishers of men. It takes more than just the right bait to be a fisherman. I was sitting somewhere the other day, I can't even remember where, some waiting room, but somewhere where they had a bunch of maggots. Oh, I know where it was. I was in the hospital waiting room. Somebody was having a procedure done, and I was in the hospital waiting room at the VA. And there was a fishing magazine there, and if you're a fisherman, you can go out and you can buy lures and lures and lures and this kind of lure and that kind of lure and then 10 of this kind of lure within that kind of lure. But this article was about what in the world you do with it. It's one thing to have a lure, it's another thing to catch fish with it. And it was talking about presentation of the lure was the name of the article. Presenting the lure. And you know, that's what he's talking about here. We've got the word of life, but we've got to present it in the right way. So look here at Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. How are we going to present Christ so that the world sees the fragrance of Christ and wants it? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. See, if we don't do these things, they're not going to see our light. They're not going to come to our light. We've got to be blameless and harmless children of God. We've got to let our light shine in the world, and the darker the world gets, the more likely they are to see our light if our lights are on. Amen? We need to make sure we are not conformed to religion, because religion doesn't look any farther than itself. Religion doesn't look much to God. It looks at its own rules, its own way of doing things, and pretty soon it's very easy to leave God out, to leave Christ out, to leave the Holy Spirit out. And I want to close with talking about breaking up the fallow ground. Hosea chapter 10 says, verse 12 says, break up the fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You know, it takes endurance to seek God till. It's easy to seek God for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You've got to break up the fallow ground to seek God till. Amen? Break up the fallow ground. And I was reading when Charles Finney wrote an article called How to Promote a Revival as it respects the church. How to Break Up Fallow Ground then was his next title. And I thought of what Jesus said when He said, I have many things to tell you which you cannot yet bear. I don't know what they were, but I know that we're not able to bear many of the things Jesus told them. And Charles Finney here went through a litany of how to break up your fallow ground. And you know, Finney had great, great, great results. And the idea of revival is not, you know, being born again and being revived are two different things. He's talking about reviving those who are born again so that they can lead others to Christ or bring others to where they can hear the message. I mean, revival is not what affects the world. It's the revived church that affects the world. Revival affects the church, and the revived church affects the world. That's God's plan. But he said, here's how you do it. Examine and note the state of your mind and see where you are. Many never seem to think about this. They pay no attention to their own heart and never know whether they are doing well in Christianity or not, whether they are gaining ground or going back, whether they are fruitful or lying waste like fallow ground. And the reason is because it's painful. The reason people don't look at it is because when we look at it, we all see we've got ground to break up. And it's painful to think about plowing your own heart. He said, here's how he learned to do it. And he said, you have to begin to examine yourself. He said, self-examination consists in looking at your life, in considering your actions, in calling up your past, and examining its true character. He's not talking about sins before you were saved. He's talking about now. And he says, first of all, take up the sins of omission, overt actions. But you know what a sin, something you should have done. He said, the first one, ingratitude. All the instances were when you've received favors from God for which you've never exercised gratitude. The second sin of omission, want of love. Think how grieved and alarmed you would be if you discovered any flagging affection for you in your wife or your husband or your children. If you saw someone else engrossing their heart and thoughts and time. Perhaps in such a case you would well nigh die with a just and virtuous jealousy. Now God styles Himself a jealous God. And have you not given your heart to other loves, played the harlot? Sincerely examine yourself and write these things down and then confess them. Neglect of the Bible, another sin of omission, is the sin of unbelief. Instances in which you have virtually charged the God of truth with lying by your unbelief of His expressed promises and declarations.
Put on the full armor of God.
If this message has helped you, awakened you, alarmed you, or blessed you, and you want to share that with us, you can email us at rockpchurch@aol.com or write to us at Rock Power Church, 3119 Southwest 30th Street, Des Moines, Iowa, 50321. Or come see us Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m., or Friday evening at 6:30 p.m.